Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Welcome to Air Talks TV Talk from LAist 89.3. I'm Larry Mantle. Every Thursday, I'm joined on Air Talk by professional TV critics to review and discuss the newest cable TV, broadcast, and streaming series. With so much content available, we know it's hard to pick something to watch, and we're here to help. All right, let's meet this week's critics. Today, it's Steve Green of IndieWire who joins us. He's not just TV critic, but associate TV editor for the publication. Steve, great to have you back with us.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much, Larry.
We begin with a series that I don't know how you could be more critically acclaimed than it's been over its three seasons to this point. Succession, which has a fourth and final season on HBO and HBO Max. Brian Cox and the cast are back. Jesse Armstrong, the creator of this series. Have you had a chance to see any of season four?
I have seen a little bit of it, and I am happy to report that it is just as good as it's always been.
That's great. What are the things that you so much like about it?
I think if you hear the premise of the show, children vying for control of their father's company when it seems like he's on his way out, it does sort of bring to mind something like Game of Thrones, another big HBO show from the past. And I think something that show maybe struggled with in its later seasons is it became so much about who was going to win. And I think Succession has done such a great job of making you care about all these individual characters regardless of success or failure. Seeing them succeed is just as interesting as seeing them fail. And I think that definitely continues in this season. It's the other thing I like about it is that it is this acclaimed drama, but it also is one of the funniest shows on TV, too. So there really is something for everybody.
So great cast, great writing on the series. And it sounds like what you're saying is even in the fourth season, they've been able to play to the strengths of what they developed, which not all series can continue to do that.
No, and I think another interesting comparison point is I love Billions on Showtime, another show set in the financial world. And I think that show has found interesting ways to reinvent itself over the years, but it is hard to sort of see how different characters work in different permutations. There are only so many different alliances and backstabbings you can do before before you kind of run out of ideas.
It becomes repetitive.
Yeah. And so I think the show is ending at the perfect time, even though I'm sure with this group involved, it probably could have sustained itself for two or three more seasons if it wanted to.
We're talking with TV critic Steve Green of IndieWire joining us. Succession, now in its fourth season, episode one of the fourth season, releases this Sunday. So Steve has had a chance to sample it, but the rest of us will, starting on Sunday, and there'll be a total of 10 episodes. It's rated TVMA. The second season of Showtime's Yellow Jackets has arrived, set in Canada. Ashley Lyle and Bart Nickerson are running the series, starring Melanie Lynskey and Tawny Cypress. Yellow Jackets, what do you think of season two?
This is another show that's interesting to talk about in the perspective of how does it sustain and how long does a show like this last? The first season, I think, hooked a lot of viewers in telling a story in multiple timelines. You have a flashback to the mid-1990s when a plane crashes carrying a group of high school soccer players. They're out in the middle of the forest. They don't know when or how they're going to survive or if they're going to get rescued. And then you flashback to the present where some of the survivors are adults. They're dealing with their own lives, spouses, families, and trying to sort of live a life away from the trauma that they experienced in the past. And I think there is a very strong horror element to this. There's a metaphysical aspect to it. And I think those are the things that hooked a lot of people in season one. Season two, I think, takes that foundation and builds it out and sort of becomes three or four different shows at once, which I think is something that is a hard thing for a show to make feel cohesive. But I think it's impressive the way that the show has taken a season one phenomenon and built a foundation that season two and potentially three and four could build on.
Now, Showtime has been folded into Paramount Plus,
sure.
So this is now going to be available to Paramount Plus subscribers, do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's that all depends on big, giant corporate decisions. I think eventually you'll be able to sort of fold those in at various times, but
I think Showtime is an add-on currently.
Yeah, it depends. It depends
Paramount
on your level.
Plus.
Yeah, it, yeah, yeah.
Yellow Jackets, season two of the Showtime series against rated TVMA, and the first episode of season two releases tomorrow night. There will be a total of 9 episodes of the second season. The third series is a Netflix docuseries, Emergency NYC. It gives us the lives of emergency healthcare workers in New York. We've seen, of course, many fictionalized accounts of this. What do you think of this docuseries approach?
I really like it. This if anyone listening watched Lenox Hill, which is another Netflix docuseries that came out in early 2020, that show followed various employees at Lenox Hill Hospital in New York. It follows surgeons and nurses and patients, just following what it was like to be sort of what it's like to be a day-to-day worker at a hospital like this. The directors and crew that worked on the show were present in the early weeks of the pandemic arriving in New York. So after the first season, they had a sort of special episode looking at those weeks and that time period. And now 3 weeks later, or 3 years later, they're back with another show that takes that Lenox Hill Foundation, follows some of those same healthcare workers and professionals, and expands it out to multiple hospitals in the New York area, and also makes it a show not just about caring for patients when they're at the hospital, but the logistical work it takes to get patients to the hospital.
And this got to be challenging because of privacy concerns, mm-hmm. you know, for people being transported or treated on scene and all. And how do they deal with some of those challenges in Emergency NYC?
Definitely. It's certainly a challenge. There's a disclaimer at the beginning of every episode that outlines that this is being done in the cooperation with not only the patients, but the professionals involved. There is a delicate process of getting permission that the people who are creating the series do go through. And I think what helps is that because you have that cooperation, this is all being presented in a very matter-of-fact way. There's no manufactured drama. There's no artificial, you know, these are life and death circumstances.
Enough real drama there. You don't have to gin that up.
Exactly. There's immense respect for the amount of work it takes, not only to care for these patients under life and death circumstances, but also the emotional work it takes for these doctors and nurses and other medical professionals to console loved ones who are also going through a hard time in knowing that the people they care about are going through this process.
We're talking about the new Netflix docuseries, Emergency NYC, from the creators of Lenox Hill, the previous Netflix series Steve was talking about. Adi Barish and Ruthie Schatz are the team responsible for this. You get into the personal lives of the responders to the emergency calls?
Yes. And I think that's something that Lenox Hill also did really well, is that it didn't just focus on everything that is in the hospital. It's impossible to talk about a brain surgeon's work without talking about what they are bringing in, as good as they are, and as amazing as they are, you know, everybody is human. They are bringing in themselves and their lives and everything they're dealing with outside, and the show, because you have that foundation of knowing who some of these people are, it makes a really nice companion piece and sort of continuing that story forward.
That's great. Steve, thank you so much for talking with us about Emergency NYC. We appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Larry.
Steve Green is Associate TV Editor for IndieWire. We were just talking about the Netflix docuseries Emergency NYC. It's rated TVMA, as is Netflix's Practice, all 8 episodes. We'll be releasing next Wednesday, March 29th. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Air Talks TV Talk from LAist 89.3. If you like what you heard, please subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.